There are a number of requests that are in our bulletin. Please keep those in mind as you go through the week and pray for them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 is the only scripture that we'll be focusing on this morning. There'll be others brought into it, but this is where we're going to be. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you are holy. We thank you for the picture that's given in Revelation of you at the throne and those who are around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." That you alone are worthy of our praise and our adoration. And we bring all of that to you because we join with those around your throne this morning, praising you for simply being God. Thank you so much that you are holy, that you are true, that you are pure, that you are righteous. Thank you that you love us with a jealous love, a love that has pursued us, love that desires that we pursue you. As we just sit in your midst this morning, as we just dwell in your midst, we pray that you will come and dwell in ours. We thank you that as your people, as we have gathered together, that you have promised that you will be here with us. Now we pray that you'll stir us. If it has not already been done through our worship of music, may it now be done through your word. Let your spirit work through your word to teach us, to convict us, and show us how we ought to be conducting ourselves as followers of Jesus. I'm not going to make a pretense that it's easy to do that, especially when we look around and we think, man, they ought to be getting theirs. And it's so hard not to be jealous. It's so hard not to be envious of others and what they have. But Lord, I pray that you will just simply give us calm. Give us rest in our hearts and in our spirit to know that you are in control and that you will never let us go. You've asked us to trust you in all things. Help us to do that. Speak to us this morning, especially if we struggle with being green. Help us to overcome these feelings that we have that want to turn us almost into somebody that we're not, almost somebody that we dislike so much. Deal with us through your word. Show us how we can be yours. And Father, I pray that as the message is brought, that you will help me to recall the things that you have placed on my heart, but you'll also help me to step aside, and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. But in his name I pray. Amen. Someone has said that envy is the art of counting another fellow's blessings instead of your own. Envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. There is an Italian philosopher. He's also known as the father of humanism. His name is Petrarch. He once said, and it's going to be up here on the screen, five great enemies to peace inhabit within us: avarice, which is greed, ambition, envy, anger, and should be pride. If those enemies were banished, we should infallibly enjoy perpetual peace. Now, he's a little bit off because just getting rid of those is not going to give us peace. But he has a point because, you see, he includes within that the problem of envy. The ancient Greeks had a story about an athlete who was rather swift in his running. And he was running in the race that was supposed to be the telling race of his career, and he got beat. As he stood there within the confines of the Colosseum, The accolades that were supposed to be rained on him were rained on somebody else. The crown that was to be put on his head was put on his enemy's head, the one that won. The wreath that was supposed to be draped around his neck was put around this other man's neck. All the speeches that were supposed to have been said about him were said about this other man. As he walked through the town on his way home, all the words of acclamation and accolades that were supposed to go to him, he didn't hear. He heard them for somebody else. As time moved on, he became more and more angry, and he couldn't figure out how he couldn't find it within himself to find just one or two more strides to win. But it ate away at him so much that in the middle of the night, he would go out and take a chisel to the base and foundation of this statue that had built in honor of this other man. Just a chisel here, just a chisel there. But one night when he went out to chisel away, he got something he didn't bargain for. He made one last stroke, and this huge statue for somebody else fell on top of him and killed him. Now, some people are going to say that he didn't die a crushing death just by one blow, and that's true. He died a crushing death because day after day or night after night, moment by moment, he was eaten away with a thing that we call jealousy or envy. Now, you may not struggle with that. You may be totally fine with the way your life is. You may never do anything about looking at somebody else and saying, I wish I had. But if you're like me, you have. And so this message is for all of us who have at one time or another possibly looked at somebody else and said, I wish I had, or you will not get what I do have. I want to take a look at this whole problem of envy and jealousy this morning. But I don't want to just look at the problem. I want to look at the solution as to how we can defeat this enemy. First of all, let's take a look at why we use the idea of color me green. Now, it shouldn't surprise you that I would title a sermon green, or that I would put color me green for the very first topic. Because don't we use the phrase, I am what? Green with envy. Now, you're going to hear the word envy and jealousy. You're going to see it intertwined. They are what we would call evil twins. And there is a slight difference between them, and I'd like to give you that difference so that we can kind of make a distinction. Now, understand that envy and jealousy basically come from the same word. I'm going to show you that in a moment. And we may joke about, oh, I'm green with envy, or I'm green with jealousy, but it is no joke. There are a lot of people who are consumed by jealousy of other people. In fact, the word literally means to boil within. To boil within. So, let's take a look at this whole idea of envy and jealousy. Let me give you some working ideas or working definitions as we go along. First of all, envy is the desire to equal another in achievement, in excellence, or in possessions. You might say, I envy what that other person has, or I envy what that person does. It's to equal yourself. Now, this appears to be rather subtle, just a benign feeling that I have, but it goes a lot deeper than that. What envy does is it begins with empty hands when it says, I want what someone else has. Someone has quoted it as saying, envy is when you resent God's goodness in other people's lives and you ignore God's goodness in your own life. You resent God's goodness in another person's life, but you ignore God's goodness in your own life. Now, let me contrast that with jealousy. And remember, they are evil twins, so there's not a lot of difference, but jealousy tends to refer to having something and living in fear of losing it. In other words, it actually begins with your hands full, and you're going to tell somebody you're not going to have it. And I'll explain the difference, and you'll see it as it works itself through. Shakespeare's actually the one who gave it the green color. He called it the green sickness. Jealousy, and here's the difference. Jealousy wants to possess what it already has. Envy wants to possess what another person has or possesses. There's the distinction. Jealousy wants to keep what it already has. Envy says, you have that, and so I want it. The Hebrew word is an interesting word that it comes from in the book of Proverbs. It means to be intensely red. Shakespeare's kind of wrong when he called it the green sickness. He should have called it the red sickness. But it means to be intensely red. And the picture is, have you ever seen somebody get so mad that you can see the red creeping up their neck? That's the picture that you get with the Hebrew word. They are intensely red, and it begins to take over them. Their face gets flushed. There's like a sudden surge of blood to their face. There are two scriptures I want you to see. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, in two separate translations. The first one is in the New Living. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. But watch this. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. A New King James Version says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You see, the whole picture is that as envy and jealousy takes over, what happens to us? We wilt. We get eaten alive. And as these two emotions take over, it is literally, like one person says, it's like grinding your teeth. For almost 3 years, many of you know that I wore braces. Not many 56-year-old people are wearing braces. But the reason is because of my jaw, I had ground my teeth away. And so to correct that, first of all, I had to correct my jaw, and then I had to correct my teeth. There are people, I was not a sleep grinder, but there are people who, while they're sleeping, they are grinding their teeth. And what are they doing as they're grinding their teeth? They're wearing them away. And that's the picture that you get with jealousy and envy, is they sit there and it sits in the bones and it's like cancer in the bones, it's like rottenness, and it begins to eat away on the inside. The thing is we don't like to admit that we are jealous and we don't like to admit that we are envious. But the problem is it begins to eat away with us until we can hardly stand to be around a person. And it eats away at our spiritual life. Now, there are some people who are more susceptible to this than others. Some of you here are saying, doesn't matter to me. I'm totally okay. But I know that there are people, not only in this room, but in this world, who can't hardly stand to be around other people because they are so jealous and so envious of what they have. Now, there are some people who are more susceptible. Number one, the people who are steeped in materialism. Now, here's the difference. A jealous person has it and says, you're not going to get it. An envious person says, I don't have it and I want it. Covetousness is not something that we play with. And the thing about covetousness is that even as a covetous person gets it, what happens? They're never satisfied. They've got to have a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And so if we are steeped in materialism and we think we've got to keep up with the Joneses, we're going to have a major problem on our hands. Because as long as you're looking at somebody else who either has something you want or you have it and they don't, it's going to be easy to say, tough luck. But it's also easy to say, I want more and I want more and I want more. There's a second type of person, and that is the person who revels in power. The person who has the power says, I'm not going to give it to you. The person who doesn't says, I wish I had it. There's a problem with power. It's subtle. You ever met somebody who was a regular Joe until they got power? And all of a sudden, it goes to their head. What do you say? They were an okay guy, but man, that power has totally deformed them. It has gone to their head. And there are some people who cannot handle power. There are some people who just can't deal with it. The third person who's susceptible is a person who is motivated by performance. Let me give you an example. King Saul. When King Saul was the leader of the people, they worshipped him. They thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But who came along? David. All of a sudden, David was winning battles, and what were they saying? Saul killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. What did Saul do? Hooray for David. Is that what he did? No, he took a spear out and tried to put him up against the tent. Because you see, when he was motivated by performance, his rage, his anger started because he didn't want to give up his power. And he was motivated by performance. And unfortunately, Saul's performance was going down the tubes and David was rising. There's a fourth type of person who's susceptible, and that's the one motivated by professions. You know these kind of people? Hey, wait a second here. They have a better cubicle than I do. Wait a second here. We're doing the same job, but they're getting paid more than I. That's not fair. And so we allow it to eat away at us. And here's the last one. Those motivated by personal issues. Sibling rivalry is a perfect example of this. It was interesting, the time I was working on this was just after the NBA draft, and they had an interview on ESPN with Cody Zeller. And I thought it was so cool because they were asking him, he had been picked number 4, you know, and anybody who follows Indiana, you know who Cody Zeller is, And he also has some other brothers already playing in the NBA. And the interviewer said, now, what are you going to do when you play your brothers? He said, we'll play hard. We'll bang bodies. But when it's all over, we're still brothers. I love that attitude. Because you see, he wasn't concerned with, I'm going to have to outperform my brothers. I'm going to have to be better than my brothers. It's too bad Jacob and Esau didn't learn that. But envy and jealousy are a problem. Now, that's color me green. Let's color me free. Because that's the point I want to get to. How can we be free from this? Now, the first thing you got to understand is jealousy or envy is not a personality disorder. You can't blame jealousy on your hair color or lack of it. You can't say like some people do, hey, I got red hair, so I'm allowed to get mad. Hey, I'm Italian, does that give me the right to get revenge? You see, jealousy is not based on a personality disorder. It's not our social environment or our upbringing. You don't become jealous just because your parents were jealous people. It's easy to pick up on it. But you have to understand that the Bible calls jealousy S-I-N. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, which is not in your study guide, is a list of sins. Among those sins are idolatry and sorcery and anger and bad feelings and strife. And twisted right in the put right in the middle of that is envy and jealousy. What Paul is writing is jealousy is not something we want to wear. Let me ask you this. Have you seen friendships ruined by jealousy? Have you seen marriages ruined by jealousy? We're not born that way. But we allow things to begin to control us. And whether we look at, say, I wish I had that, or you're not getting it, and it's mine, it's damaging. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Paul says we need to walk away from envy. So how do we do that? There are four things that I want to give you, and then we're done. Number one, key, stop comparing. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I wanted to put up here because it sounds like it's doublespeak, but watch it. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. The point Paul is trying to say is you're wasting your time comparing yourself, wishing you were like somebody else. The truth of the matter is the grass is not always greener on the other side. And when we begin to compare ourselves with somebody else, we only end up in trouble. Number two, renounce it as sin. Don't play with it. We are fighting a battle here for our souls. And if we allow envy and jealousy to eat away at us, we're fighting a battle that we cannot win by whipping out a sword and going slash, 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 or taking a hammer out and beating it on the head. The Bible tells us that the battle we fight cannot be won with physical weapons. It is a battle that is won that we cannot see. And we can only win it by putting on the armor of God. Renounce jealousy and envy as a sin. Call it what the Bible calls it. Don't justify it. Don't rationalize it. Don't say, well, it's not really bad. Yeah, it is. Number three, reaffirm God's goodness to you. This might be the key out of the whole thing. You see, we tend to forget how good God is to us. Because when we begin comparing ourselves to other people, it's easy to look at their good points and say, man, I wish I had. Let's stop wishing we had, and let's start being thankful for God's goodness to us now. Instead of bemoaning what we don't have or what somebody else does have, let's say, God, you know, you've blessed me beyond measure. You've given me so much. I need to be thankful for what you've given me. And I'm grateful for it. The Christian life is not determined by someone else. And number four, watch where you step. And I don't mean physically. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9. Better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite. This too is meaningless. Again, he tells us to walk away. He tells us to not to even put that into our clothing, into our wardrobe. He says, get rid of envy and jealousy. Grass is not always greener on the other side. So here's what I want to close with. Embrace God's goodness to you. Embrace God's goodness. Be thankful for what he has given you. Instead of saying, God, you gave me this, but you didn't. Let's forget about what he didn't, and let's be grateful for what he did. Be satisfied. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Interestingly enough, right smack dab in the love chapter are these words. Love does not what? Envy. Love and envy are both fires, folks. You know yourself that fire can either bring you warmth or fire can bring you destruction. When you're sitting in front of a fireplace at night, or you're sitting in front of a campfire at night and the warmth is hitting you, you're going, oh, this is nice. But all we have to do is look at Arizona and look at Colorado, and we can find out what happens when a fire gets out of control. That's the way our lives are. We can choose to have the fire of love, or we can have to choose the fire of envy. One of those is good, the other one is not so good. Let's start being satisfied with what God has given to us. Let's do this. Let's start praising God for his goodness to us instead of saying, God, I wish you would do this. Or instead of comparing ourselves to somebody else and saying, well, look at that, look what they have, instead of saying, God, you know, it doesn't matter what they have. Look what I have because you gave it to me. And it's going to change our whole outlook. And envy and jealousy will have to take a back seat to satisfaction and contentment. Love doesn't envy. Let me ask you this. What kind of lover are you? Father, thank you so much for your word. As I already mentioned, there are some people who struggle more with this than others do. Some are content with the way you have blessed them. They are content in giving away instead of holding on. They're content with the way that you have continually filled their lives with good things and are not always looking at somebody else and saying, but I wish I had. Teach us, teach me to be content with what we have, to be satisfied. And as I take stock, as we take stock of what you've given to us, help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful for what you've given to us instead of always comparing ourselves to other people. We have one thing that the world doesn't have, and that is Jesus. And he is enough. But all these other things that come are simply gifts from you. Help us to take them as gifts. Help us to live with what you have given to us, sharing what we can share, being content with what you have given us, and getting rid of being green. If there's somebody in this room this morning who is really struggling with this, would you help them to seek you? Help them to realize that in your presence there is fullness of joy. And in your presence, where they can dwell, you will come and you will be enough and you will be sufficient and you will help each one of us to turn our eyes away from the things that don't matter. If there's somebody in this room who's hoarding, who's holding on, and basically is afraid to share, teach them the love of Jesus to give. And Father, I speak to our hearts today. Just work in us. Help us to be more like you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing this last song, if you would, please.